radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Paul Gallant.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
The most interactive sports radio show in Houston.
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Wilson in trouble, avoids it, rifles, intercepted. Jimmy Ward in the end zone. Game over. Houston wins it.
I mean, I'll take it, but can we get a blowout? Can we please get a blowout? There are too many close games that this team plays through. But hey, your beloved Houston Texans are 7-5 after a 22-17 victory over the Denver Broncos yesterday at NRG Stadium. Welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Monday, December 4th, 2023. We're also going to talk about Texas. Ooh, can we say those words? I think based off of what Sean Mapes is wearing today, we might be able to. We'll talk about language in the NBA and honestly, an all-time Philadelphia sports fan moment. But let's start by talking about this Houston Texans team. The players play, the coaches coach, but you know, management doesn't get enough credit, right? In anything in life. All the suits that are listening right now, or maybe just the run-of-the-mill manager, someone who's in a position of power. You probably think to yourself every now and then, you know what would be nice? A little gratitude. Nick Caserio deserves some gratitude today based off of the result of yesterday's game. Who's the guy who drafted Nico Collins in the third round in the 2021 NFL draft? That would be Nick Caserio. Nico Collins is just 9 yards shy of 1,000 yards on the season after another monster performance, thanks to a couple of big plays from C.J. Stroud. He was the entire Texans offense, and he has 295 receiving yards the last 2 weeks. That's the offensive side of things. Defensively, and yeah, my voice is hoarse. I went to a bachelor party this weekend. Shout out to me, even making it in on time, barely. Will Anderson, he made it on time. He blocked a punt. He had 2 sacks. He deflected a pass that was intercepted by Derek Stingley. We'll get to him in a second. 4 quarterback hits over the course of the game. 3rd overall pick. There were multiple people at NRG Stadium that were asking me how Jeremy Branham feels about what Will Anderson did yesterday. You're going to have to wait until the Killer Bees later this afternoon for that. And then the 3rd overall pick in last year's draft, Derek Stingley Jr. 2 interceptions, 4 deflected passes. In his 3 games back since missing all that time with a hamstring injury, he's got 4 interceptions, and the 2nd interception that he caught was an unbelievable catch. It really was. He looked like a wide receiver for that brief moment. He did get a little help on a underthrown Russ deep ball. Probably should have gone called for pass interference there. But did you know that in 15 career games, Derek Stingley Jr. has 5 interceptions? Did you know that in 28 career games, Sauce Gardner has 2 interceptions? And don't give me that. That's kind of disingenuous, Paul. It is, but that's not the point. The point is that Nick Caserio has done a very good job putting this team together. A lot of it is C.J. Stroud. There's no denying it. But in a game where, for whatever reason, Bobby Slowick decided that he was going to put Tank Dell on the interior of the offensive line or something, to the point where he suffered a broken ankle. Another guy, by the way, that Nick Caserio found in the middle of the draft. That Texans offense couldn't do a damn thing. And it's something we're going to have to wonder about in the weeks to come, especially even if the New York Jets are going to be on to their fourth quarterback. Defensively, they are very good. But to bring it all back, we've given him a lot of crap at times. I think at times deservedly so. But this is a patience game. We're talking about management. And Nick Caserio, general manager of the Houston Texans, a believer like myself in the Patriot way, Nick Caserio looks like a genius today. 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. You can join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. You can also get after me on Twitter, @GallantSays, @SeanAMapes, behind the glass. He is hooking it up behind the glass. Do you feel like, Sean, that there will be many people today that gives Nick Caserio his flowers after a performance where, yeah, Will Anderson, Derek Stingley Jr., stop laughing at my hoarse voice. And
say Will Anderson one more time.
And Nico Collins, Will Anderson. Yeah, that's a tough word. Every single time I say that, that's probably going to crack. But between those three yesterday, I mean, I think that he specifically deserves praise because he's not going to get it that often.
Yeah, yeah. I think today is going to be kind of the Nick Caserio gets his flowers game. Because after each one of these games, basically C.J. Stroud gets his flowers, deservedly so, in a lot of these wins. And then normally there's a couple other people that get their flowers. I feel like this, because of the tenor of the game and the way that just how many plays the guys on the defense made, specifically the last two first-round picks that they've made on defense, I think that definitely today, all the shows are going to be tipping the old cap to Nick Caserio.
I think you should genuflect. The Patriot way is here to stay.
The Patriots lost 6-0 on Sunday.
Only give up 6 points.
They only scored 0.
You know, they're doing some impressive things here. They've lost 3 games in a row while allowing less than 10 points in each of them. I mean, see, the Patriot way, it works in some ways.
Tom Brady way.
You do need a quarterback. The Texans have a quarterback in C.J. Stroud. But on a serious note, this is a pretty well-constructed team. Drew Scruggs, he looked pretty good in there at left guard. The sacks, not great. C.J. Stroud did get sacked 5 times. The Texans were 4-for-16 on third down. So definitely some offensive issues in this game. But you mentioned, Sean, the plays by the defense. Denver was 0-of-11 on third down in this game. And the Texans, yeah, they gave up a couple of fourth down conversions, I believe 3. And there were a couple of slip-ups where Russell Wilson was able to go back in time and do what he's done before, which is make great throws downfield. But they sacked Russ. They intercepted him 3 times. Jimmy Ward, a guy who they signed in the offseason, he gets the game-clinching interception. He also absolutely killed Russell Wilson on a scramble. Was that the early fourth, late third quarter? Whatever it was, borderline decapitation.
BS flag, by the way.
Yes. We're going to talk about the refs in a moment. We need to bring that back. That was a fine play,
Sean. It was perfectly on time. Blame Russell Wilson for not sliding earlier. That's the thing. These quarterbacks want to slide at the last possible second.
It's ridiculous.
Jimmy Ward did was perfectly fine.
It was, I think. But I'm also somebody who thinks that sliding should be illegal and running out of bounds should be illegal. We have different ways of looking at football.
Every once in a while, I want to send you a clip of a player running out of bounds. Because now I notice, I don't get mad at it like you do, but I do notice, wow, they beelined out of bounds. Especially when it's a receiver.
What would Ime Udoka do, Sean, if somebody ran out of bounds right in front of him?
Soft-ass boy. That's what they call him.
He'd say it. Now, I would not say that about an athlete, but he'd say it.
He's a former athlete.
I'd think it.
Maybe mumble it into your beer as you're taking a sip watching the game.
Multiple things. I hated it when those little soft, sorry, but they were. They got the rules changed because they couldn't get off a jam. When those little tiny Colts receivers, I guess I shouldn't say that about Marvin Harrison, but when those tiny Colt receivers couldn't get off a jam against the Patriots, they changed the rules back in 03, 04, and then you would see them make catches and just drop to the ground and give up. I had never seen that before until 03, 04, right around that time. The greatest show on turf, Rams, they did the same crap. It's awful. That was 20 years ago. It's just gotten worse and worse. Wussification of America. But anyway, more importantly, the Texans won. If you want to weigh in on that, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. At some point, I'm sure, just because this is the me show, I will squeeze in some bachelor party tales. It was a rough weekend for me. I was the subject of bullying, the extreme bullying. And you know what?
And that was when your voice didn't sound like this?
Yes. I think my voice was starting to sound like this on Friday, to be perfectly honest. So wow. I might have something right now. So the Paul Gallant flu game will continue. We're on until noon. Again, you heard the number. You can join us on Twitch and on the text line. Let's talk about that ref show next, since we just got into it. Specifically, is there a way that we can make this better? There's got to be. It's the Paul Gallant show. First, though, guys, looking for a gift for your significant other? For your, you want to get him something for Christmas? Well, how about get him something sexy? Pajamagram's famous naturally nude pajamas are going to make you a holiday hero. They're so good. These things sell out every single year. They're known for ultimate comfort and style. They're soft. They're silky. Ooh, better than lingerie with a curved, caressing fit. Yowzers! Here's the kicker. When you order naturally nude pajamas today, you'll get a free naturally nude nightie. That's $75 savings on a luxurious 2-in-1 complete gift. And better yet, with Pajamagram, you can even add gift packaging. If you ask me, that's one easy holiday gift that is sure to make her happy. We know how good it feels to win. Texans know. So why not win this Christmas? Go to Pajamagram today for naturally nude pajamas before they sell out. That's naturally nude pajamas at Pajamagram.com.
ESPN 97.5.com. We keep getting away with it.
He can't keep getting away with it.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
Ball back with a first and 10 at the 22. Fake the handoff. Stroud. Home run ball for Stroud downfield. Nico Collins goes down to get it at the 26.
He had a big game, 191 yards receiving. Anyway, guys, it's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We talked about the Texans' 22-17 victory over the Broncos in the first segment. I think it's a day that we all tip our hat to Nick Caserio. Pena has a thought. He wants to weigh in on the Texas Longhorns, Big 12 champs, in the college football playoffs, and Ime Udoka. Pena, what's up, bud?
Texas fight, and it's goodbye to A&M. Let's go, baby. We're in the college football. And hey, Paul, before anybody, any of you FSU crybabies, you got some hot girls over there. But you guys, the last time a team deserved it, what happened? What happened to that team that deserved it? They got blown out last year, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry, guys. Texas deserved it more than y'all. Anyways, Paul, you know how LeBron said he wants to play with Bronny?
Yes.
When he gets to the NBA, how awkward would it be if the Rockets drafted Bronny and Ime's still the head coach? How awkward would that be? Thank you. Have a great day. Go Longhorns.
It won't happen. That's how awkward it would be. It just won't happen. Here's the thing. I don't even know if Bronny's going to make it in the NBA, especially after, you know, the health scare that has had him out for a couple of months, right? I think he's still not officially back from whatever little heart issue he had.
He got cleared to practice.
Yeah. Okay. So let's wait a moment on that. To be perfectly honest, too, this is going to sound like a cop-out. I just don't care about Bronny. I don't. And I'm trying to be better when it comes to my disdain for LeBron James. But these these NBA players, I get why every boomer and their mother regularly says that these guys are commies. Because they don't believe in freedom of speech. They don't believe in it. Sean's laughing, but I'm right. These players do not believe in freedom of speech.
They don't believe in being yelled at. That's what they don't believe in.
Who cares? The fans are doing it too. What stopped them from doing it as well? It is soft boy behavior. And to be perfectly honest, any man who sees a friend that does that, you would call him a bitch too. You might even call him the P word. Let's be honest, right? Any normal red-blooded American. Well, Paul, you sound like you're a right winger right now. No, any red-blooded American, that happens, you're going to call him a bitch. This weekend at the bachelor party I was at, I was tougher than LeBron James. We have this thing called dice roll. Here's what we do. You roll dice and you get your friends to do ridiculous things. Want to know how this started? One of my friends bought a pair of polka-dotted, like 1900s pajamas at a store. Set on a 7, which is way too low of a number. It's a very easy roll to get. On a 7, you have to wear these for the rest of the night. Guess what he rolled? A 7. So I had on polka dot pajamas out at a restaurant, at a bar, walking around Fredericksburg. Oh, guess what happened after that? After that, someone said, on an 8, we're going to cut your sleeves off. Guess what they rolled? 8. So now, all of a sudden, I'm essentially walking around looking like if Hulk Hogan decided, you know what, I've got some polka dot pajamas, but I'm going to rip the shoulders off. Oh, guess what? It wasn't done. Because then a little bit later at Allstadt Brewery in front of everybody, one of my other friends rolled me into, get this, having somebody with a knife cut the bottoms of the pants off. So essentially I was wearing like boxers and a tank top of these once very nice, exorbitantly expensive pajamas. And guess what your boy did all 3 times? He nutted up. He sacked up. And LeBron's getting mad about someone saying, not even bitch, bitching. What a baby. And this whole league is like that. And it is a reason that I feel like people don't like it as much anymore. So there you go. There you go. Anyway. And people are asking, oh, classic Paul. The people who cut the pant legs off were ladies. There was a group of ladies that was next to us. So it just got very, very debaucherous. But there you go, guys. Classic Fredericksburg, am I right? Anyway, more thoughts here. Chris has a thought on 2 things. I think he wants to weigh in on Ime Udoka. And on top of that, he wants to weigh in on the sliding quarterback epidemic. I know we saw a text that someone was talking about where Patrick Mahomes was going out of bounds and he got hit by former Houston Texans safety Jonathan Owens, and they threw a flag on that. It was absolutely ridiculous. Again, you shouldn't be allowed out of bounds, and you shouldn't be allowed to slide. Chris has a thought. Chris.
Hey, Paulie. Hey, you know, I think there's 2 types of sliders, right? There's the douchebag that we saw yesterday at quarterback for Denver,
Russ,
who tries to get every single yard he can before he slides because he knows the defense is at a loss, or, you know, like you say, you know, defensive lives matter, Paulie. I mean,
you
have that guy. And then last night with Jalen Hurts, he's respectful. He doesn't try to do those douchey things like try to get that extra yard. He just runs out of bounds, and the defensive guys know, okay, this guy's cool. He's not going to put me in a position to where do I tackle him, do I not tackle him. You know, there's 2 different types of sliders, I think, and that's just my thought on that. And Ime, Paulie, I don't know. I didn't know I could love a coach more than Rudy T, but I really like how he talks to LeBron. LeBron is the most hated athlete for me. I cannot stand that dude. I mean, of course, I'm a Michael Jordan guy all the way, but you're right, man. I mean, he wasn't attacking LeBron.
No,
I mean, he was just calling it like he sees it. So that's my thought on that, Paul.
Appreciate your call, Chris. I like Ime even more now, too. I really do. I like this stuff.
It is a great way to get everyone on your side after dropping to 0-8 on the road this season. Like, it is a great way to
No one's talking about 0-8 on the road.
He like played it perfectly. Like, he's again such a great coach. Yes, they have not won a road game, but he's done a good job, not just in the player management, but also like how you play the coaching game, where it's a little bit of distraction, a little bit of trying to light a fire under the guys, because he said that they came in there and got punked by the Lakers. It was coaching masterclass in, again, a loss and like not a great stretch for the Rockets.
Bit of a pandering masterclass as well to what you were saying at the beginning of that, Sean, and to what Chris was saying too. Personally, I've sports disliked LeBron James since before it was cool to. Since before.
When he beat the Celtics.
Well, he didn't beat the Celtics. The Celtics beat him. They beat him multiple times, in fact.
Oh, yeah.
And then he took off his jersey. 21. And he went to the Miami Heat, right? Because he couldn't do it on his own? Yeah. Like
how Paul Pierce couldn't do it on his own?
Paul Pierce added Kevin Garnett. Paul Pierce added
Ray
Allen.
Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen couldn't do it on their own.
Yeah, they couldn't.
Doc Rivers can't do it on
their own. But it was late in their career. For LeBron James, it was early.
Oh, okay.
And I thought it was kind of lame that he just was like, yeah, well, all these guys around me aren't good. He was right, but I thought it was lame. Taking off his jersey on the way out, it was lame.
He's got to stick it out with Zdrunas Ilgauskas being his second best teammate.
Big Z, come on. Come on now. All right.
Mo Williams had a couple good years.
Some people are saying LeBron, great reader. That's true. And guess what Ime Udoka did not go after? See, Ime tried to move on, which made it better. And he was so casual about it, too. I was shocked. Like, if you watch it, unless you did the Zapruder analysis, which everyone did online, you had no idea why he got ejected there. Like, you had no clue.
And I mean, you knew it was something he said.
Definitely something he said. I figured he said something to the ref.
I thought he was saying something way worse if you look at the close-up, like, shot of Ime and LeBron talking, and then the ref kind of slides in there to tee them both up. You can see the people sitting behind the bench, like, grabbing their... Like, there's literally a lady who is not wearing pearls, but is clutching her pearls at what Ime Udoka was saying. So I thought it was going to be some really, like, hair-curling stuff. But no, it was just soft-ass boy.
Nothing bad was said.
And he also said, you're playing like bitches. He did not say, you are bitches. He said, you're playing as if. Stop bitching, but you're not bitches.
LeBron taking issue with that and saying, we're grown men. You're not acting like it.
He did the same thing to Draymond in the finals.
You're right.
It's his Marty McFly, you call me chicken. It's like the one word that gets, or the one like thing that gets under his skin the most.
It's bizarre. What is he, Mormon? Like, I don't get it.
I mean, everyone has something that specifically gets under their skin. It's just weird that this is the one.
For me, again, I got essentially hazed into oblivion over the weekend. But you know what I did?
Well, yours is medium. That's if they really wanted to.
That doesn't bother me that much.
They'd be
though.
Like, medium.
It doesn't bother me that much.
Okay.
That doesn't bother me that much.
Okay.
I said that.
You pushed back very hard.
No. What bothers me more is if you like take a shot at my interior decorating. Like, then I'll stab you. Like, then I'll just pull out the kitchen knife. I was standing my ground, standing my honor. Anyway, Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. So, we've touched on Ime Udoka going back and forth with LeBron James. Haven't gotten into Texas moving on to the college football playoff. If you want to weigh in on the Texans' victory as well, 22-17 over the Broncos, you can. I do think Nick Caserio looks like a genius today. Up next, we take a look at some other things that happen around the NFL. I suppose we could take a look at that hit on Patrick Mahomes and just continue to whine about the softness of the NFL. Maybe we get to hear from Gene Steratore and his explanation of those two bad calls against the Texans on Sunday and all-time Philadelphia sports fan moment. Just all-time. I can't believe I saw it. I think I'm impressed by it. And people probably should have gone to jail for it. Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. If you want in, you have to audition.
Hi, I'm Carrie Dubick, and I'm reading for the role of Man at Party Who Smells Fart.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest issues in the NFL.
This just in.
Here's the 10-minute drill with Paul Gallant.
Football time.
Did anyone see the assault committed by Philadelphia Eagles fans everywhere on two poor San Francisco 49ers fans during yesterday's absolute drubbing that Brock Purdy and the Niners put on Philadelphia. Did anyone see that? Do yourself a favor. Look it up. I have never seen people pelted with snowballs on the level that these two 49ers fans were. One was wearing a Patrick Willis jersey. I couldn't recognize the other person's jersey. We're talking, there's a 2-minute video, and security couldn't do a damn thing where it looked like Sonny in The Godfather getting shot at the toll booth. Less blood, but boom, 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 boom.
It looked like literally everyone in the stadium was throwing snowballs at.
They get very sensitive when you talk about booing Santa, cheering paralyzed Michael Irvin, among other things. And Irvin wasn't paralyzed, but at the moment you're like, is he?
I was about to say, he's very
But at the moment...
He walks around when he's on TV. When he's on First Take, he walks around.
In the moment,
yeah.
It did not seem like he was going to be walking. So, they've had all sorts of bad moments. This one was a bad moment, but they should wear it. Stop being so sensitive about it. You are who you are. You can't help it. Can't help it.
And again, they are so lucky that they did this, much like Ime Udoka. They're so good that they did this because we're talking about the game, we're talking about this and not the fact that they lost like 45 to nothing. It wasn't 45 to nothing, but it was...
It felt like that.
It was very, very... These teams kind of don't belong on the same field.
They got smoked. Seriously. I was shocked by how one-sided that game was. I did think... I forget what I did for the prediction of the game. Of course, we're so bad at picking games. We just pick the games to watch. We don't pick the results, but...
I forgot who you picked.
I think I picked Philadelphia in this one. 42-19, the final score. Brock Purdy's a real MVP candidate. He is. Probably him and Dak Prescott right now. That's because it's been a rough year for Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City
Chiefs.
Tyreek
Hill.
Tyreek Hill is also up there. He's a receiver, though. Receivers are never going to win the award.
But in a year where we're going, Dak Prescott has turned it on lately, and then maybe Brock Purdy. Like, can we give it to a wide receiver who's like might break the yardage record? Like, can we do that, please?
We should be open to it.
Instead of not mediocre quarterback season, but a mediocre MVP quarterback season. Like,
well,
what are we doing?
The thing is, though, because Mahomes' numbers are very down, and CJ Stroud does lead the NFL in passing yards right now. So if you want to put him back in there, but I would not after yesterday's performance. And that wasn't even a him performance. It was more they just had a lot of issues on offense. But if you take a look at the top quarterbacks in the game. Purdy with 23-6. Are we calling that mediocre? Dak Prescott's got 26-6. If the Cowboys beat the Eagles next Sunday, I think he's got a strong argument. But
it's just the idea of like half those touchdowns that he threw.
Big catch and runs, like Debo Samuel one.
It's like only Debo Samuel makes that play. I'm not giving Brock Purdy a lot of credit for that.
There is a bias, a natural bias against Brock Purdy. I think it's because a lot of people are just shocked that he has actually been good. And they don't want to call him great because of that.
Well, and we saw like Jimmy G kind of do pretty similar stuff for stretches.
Definitely.
That hurt.
But more turnovers from Jimmy G and from Brock. He takes care of the football. I mean, he's averaging 9.6 yards an attempt. And as you said, Sean, a lot of it is yards after the catch. But that really is something else. So it's Purdy... Prescott, we'll put Tyreek Hill in there. And I screw it. Let's keep CJ Stroud hanging around. Let's keep him hanging around. All right. Continuing to go around the NFL, we mentioned the Chiefs. The Chiefs lost on Sunday to Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers, who all of a sudden are 6-6. RIP in advance, anyone who hates the Packers when the Killer Bees come on this afternoon, because I'm sure Joel Blank won't be chirping at all. I'm sure he won't come in with a big old sunshiny grin on his face after Jordan Love and company took down the Chiefs 27-19. Kansas City is now 8-4, and the AFC still seems wide the bleep open. Where do the Texans stand after the victory over another team, the Broncos, that are fighting for their playoff lives? If the season were to end today, the Houston Texans would be out of the playoffs.
Ugh.
Because the Colts won.
That Colts game was a crazy one.
The worthless-ass Titans. Put it away. Like
they
you finally look good for a week.
They lost because not only did their punt, they had two straight punts get like blocked and I think blocked for touchdowns, but then the punter got hurt and the punter's also the holder, and so they had to have Ryan Tannehill hold for an extra point that they had later, and he did not do a good job holding for the extra point.
Oh no!
And then they went to overtime.
Oh,
and lost.
I mean, you hate to see it happen to the Titans, but it would have been helpful for it to happen against the Colts.
Would have been really helpful.
Yeah, just a little helpful. Continuing to take a look at the AFC playoff picture, Kenny Pickett and the Steelers, they lost fairly convincingly to the Arizona Cardinals of all teams, and Pickett got injured in that game, so Mitchell Trubisky is going to be under center for the Steelers next week and possibly for the foreseeable future. That makes you feel good about the Steelers falling out of the race. And the Cleveland Browns, who were 7-4, despite all of the crap that they've been dealing with at quarterback all year long, the Browns lost 36-19 to the L.A. Rams. So things are getting a little tighter, but since the Colts won and the Colts beat the Texans earlier in the year, they would be the last team out of the AFC playoffs.
It's probably going to come down to beating the Colts on the last week of the season again for the second time. No, wait, do they play the last week or the second to last
week? It was the last week of the season last year, too.
Well, no, but do they play this year?
It is the last week of the season this year, too, yes.
Okay, so this one, just like last year for all the marbles, except this time, winning. You want to win this one. Also, you mentioned Kenny Pickett getting hurt. Do you know the Thursday night game for Amazon Prime?
Oh, no. Poor Al Michaels. So it's the Steelers, I'm guessing, are one of the teams.
And they're hosting your New England Patriots.
Oh, my. Oh, God. Oh, I'm not watching.
I'm not watching. This one is so bad, I might watch it.
I'm not watching.
This one's, like, so terrible.
You know what's been great this year? And I know I'm going to sound like a bad fan, but not watching a second of the Patriots. It's been wonderful.
I think
for me this year,
not watching. Like, I've done this thing this year, which is when I say it, a lot of people are gonna be like, "No, duh." But when there's like a bad primetime matchup, I just don't watch it.
I don't either.
Like last night, and the Packers ended up winning. So I guess whatever. It was a good game, or was it a good game, or just the underdog won? But I was like, you know what, Chiefs versus Packers, I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. No thanks. You know what? Tonight, Jags versus Bengals. Jake Browning under center for the Bengals. I think I'm good.
You're good?
I think I'm good.
No.
Netflix has a lot of interesting things on there.
There's going to be some condescending tweet out there later, Sean, that's going to say, you wish you had this game in April or in May. And
no, I don't.
Whenever
I'll
see that.
You this. No, I don't.
Sean, I feel the same way. When I was at 610, I used to feel that way all the time. I was like, oh, there's no football. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Now I'm like, oh, I don't have to do this. Nice. This is great. But that said, with all that said, and again, to pat myself on the back again, not only did I go to a bachelor party in Fredericksburg, but your boy woke up at 7 a.m. on Sunday in Fredericksburg and drove all the way from Fredericksburg to NRG Stadium, sat down at 11:55. It was like nobody knew. And I just stared ahead. Josh Beard's to my right. And I said, Josh, don't talk because my voice doesn't work. I didn't want anyone to know that my voice was hoarse. I'm just thankful that the two questions that I asked CJ Stroud and D'Amico Ryans came out of my voice box without cracking like I'm Peter Bailey.
It would have been great if they were both like, what was that?
Hey, D'Amico.
One more time.
D'Amico. Hey, D'Amico. What happened on that Desmond King play?
I do like that you just had, like, Josh Beard, like, playing defense, basically.
I just
like, on one side, you're like, okay, good, nothing. I told Josh Beard will not talk to me, and no one will, like, walk past him to talk to me, so we're good.
Just don't. I just didn't want to talk to anybody. And basically the whole time, I was just like this.
A lot of nods. Yeah.
But
And no one would have known.
No one would have known.
Or no one did know until just
now. Until just now. Well, I want to share it with you guys. I don't want to share it with them.
Oh, okay.
They all look down on me anyway. I just wanted to share it with you guys. You guys listening in the car. Anyway, it's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. We mentioned some of those bad calls that have been happening across the NFL of late. There are so many bad calls it seems like the Houston Texans are on the wrong side of. And I don't want to sound like Bill Worrell, Rockets broadcasting legend, complaining about the refs. But we're about to complain about the refs because something's got to be done. First, I've got to tell you about my friends at Pendleton Whiskey. Many a Pendleton were had this weekend in Fredericksburg. Did you know, guys, the Pendleton Roundup has defined what it means to be a cowboy for over a century? And guess what? It gave life to Pendleton Whiskey, which captures that unique spirit in every bottle and honors the enduring legacy of the American West. Now, back in the days of the American West, polka dot pajamas, they were in. They were fashionable. They were stylish. And you know what? I was a cowboy even with those polka dot pajamas on that eventually didn't have any sleeves and eventually didn't have any legs because I had myself some Pendleton whiskey made with the finest northern grains, cut with Mount Hood Glacier water. A whiskey that celebrates the cowboy in all of us. It's Pendleton whiskey. It's true Western tradition. And go to their website to see some of the amazing drinks that you can put together with Pendleton whiskey.
ESPN 97.5, because every day is Children's Day.
It was a baby. She smothered her own baby.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's the season of giving. Guys, Air Team Heating and Cooling and ESPN 97.5, we've teamed up for a holiday drive benefiting the DePelchin Children's Center. Now, through Friday, you can drop off donations at Air Team to support our Houston youth in foster care. Our station's going to be broadcasting live there all day on Friday, so stop by to say hello with your donation. The most needed items and donation info are at airteamltd.com. It's the holiday drive benefiting DePelchin Children's Center, brought to you by Air Team, your H-Town heating and cooling team. Very cool stuff. Not cool. Refereeing in the NFL. It felt in that Jaguars-Texans game like the Texans were on the wrong end of several dubious calls. All of them pass interference related. I think there was another one off the top of my head that was maybe something different, but the Tank Dell catch on the left sideline. Man, it sucks that Tank Dell's out for the year. Really does. But we'll touch on that more in the 11 o'clock hour. None of the calls in that game between the Texans and Jaguars were as bad as this call. It's third down. The Broncos weren't really doing anything with the ball and probably weren't going to get the first down. But the Texans' offense was in quagmire at this point in the game. So Russell Wilson throws a pass to the flat to a Broncos running back. I believe it was Samaje Perine. Desmond King, who has done a great job in run support over the last couple of weeks, hits him, puts his shoulder into him, and it looks like he pushes for the football and tries to knock it out, while Perine, since it's a third down, is trying to run for the first down. It was not clear that his forward progress had been stopped, but after King punches the ball out, picks it up, and runs it in for a touchdown, there's a long pause, and we're all trying to figure out what the hell happened. If you're at NRG Stadium, all you heard was the referee say his forward progress was stopped, the ball was dead. So I was really curious to know on the CBS broadcast, which we can't hear the feed of at the game, what Gene Steratore said. Because generally, with these referee analysts, I expect them to stand with the referees who made the call on the field. Steratore, to his credit, did not do that in either moment in yesterday's game though he wasn't as heavy-handed as I would have liked him to be when he was explaining why this call was made.
Moving on the field was the
Watch King, 25.
Progress was stopped. Short of the line of game.
There's the hit.
Fourth down.
Oh, they're going to whistle it dead.
Yeah. That's going to be a tough one. Because it looked like Piron was still fighting for the yardage. Watch the catch. He turns and tucks it. And as he's going back, he's still fighting to try and go. That play had not played out, in my opinion, that ball could have gone ahead and gone.
And Gene Steratore is with us right now. Gene?
Yeah, I get Charles's point, and in real time, I can't disagree with him because I think Piron still feels like he has control of his body. But if they rule progress, which they stated, in order for that to be a fumble, that football would have had to come out immediately upon impact on that line.
So the whistle blew the play dead.
Thanks, Gene.
Sounded like a sarcastic thanks, Gene, by Charles at the end, even though they agreed. But Steratore there actually said, as politely as he could, that he didn't agree with that call. And it was a terrible call. And the Texans are fortunate to have won. It's their eighth straight one-score game. Thank goodness Jimmy Ward got that interception in the end zone, because I think we would have been very, very upset with the league offices in New York City. And I would be curious to know if anyone would have tried to storm the NFL Capitol. Would it have been reasonable if they missed the playoffs due to that? Just like elections may or may not have been rigged. I'm just kidding. Just like if that had been rigged, NFL pro Broncos with all those Broncos fans there, they're like, oh, we're the bigger market. They're the fan base that cares a little bit more. I would have understood going up to New York and storming Roger Goodell's office. And honestly, I'd have looked the other way. I mean, the man has committed crimes against the greatest American that there's ever been, Tom Brady. So
stand by and stand back.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. No, I'm just going to look the other way.
Oh, okay.
But they're very fortunate that did not come back to bite him in the ass. That was very clearly a fumble return for a touchdown. And I do not understand why they thought that forward progress was stopped. It's two guys that are not that big that are locked up with one another. Yeah. So what? Now the play is dead when you just make contact with the other guy? It is literally flag football if that is the case. Violent flag football, still flag football if that's all it is.
If anything, like, I would be okay if they just ruled that an incomplete pass. Like, that would be would have been better if they're just like, yeah, never had control, incomplete, you know.
Yeah,
like,
that would make total sense.
That would make more sense.
But he totally caught it.
That almost is what I think, like, that not should. If you're going to get it wrong, that's the way you should have gotten it wrong.
An incomplete pass,
yes.
Whistled dead. Yes, that would have made sense to me. That did not. So that's the first of two, I thought, really bad calls. You know my take on the roughing call, Russell Wilson in the, I want to say, third quarter as well, or early fourth, is scrambling, and Jimmy Ward, running as fast as he possibly can, he clearly wants to take him out. And guess what? If you're a quarterback running downfield, you are, guess what? A ball carrier, like everyone else on the field. And it is ridiculous that they are protected to the degree that they are. I get it. You want to have good quarterbacks. You don't want the Jets situation to happen. But football is still a team game, and defenders have a really difficult time trying to adapt to all these crazy rules. So when Russell Wilson, who was already a small guy, at the very last second slides, you're not supposed to hit him at all? You're not supposed to try and hit him to stop forward momentum? This isn't the Matrix, as was explained to me by former Seahawks linebacker Dave Wyman. He used to say this all the time. It's not the Matrix. You see these slow motion replays, and people assume that a defender can just stop on a dime when they are committing to try and tackle a guy. Sorry, there's not much that's going through your head in a moment like that. Anyone who's played at the high school level can tell you that. You're just trying to do something. Now you got to think about how you do it, and I get that they're trying to protect players, but that was a totally fine hit by Jimmy Ward. And to make matters worse for the NFL, Gene Steratore, on a play that looked very violent against a quarterback, Gene Steratore actually said the right thing again.
They're just difficult plays, and I empathize with the defense on these iron. We see Russell Wilson, who starts to slide late. Ward has committed to this tackle before Wilson begins to slide. He stays below the head neck area. Yes, it's a difficult hit. It's really hard to officiate when you see a quarterback's head snap like that as he's sliding. They're erring on the side of safety in those cases. But at some point, in my opinion, I think you've got to let football be football. And if you're going to slide late as a quarterback, you're going to get the punishment that football delivers in these situations. The physicality of that play also has something to do with this game and how it's played. And I think Ward does the things he's supposed to do. Again, it's my opinion on it, but that's how I would like to see them officiated, at least from the chair now, Ian.
Very eloquently said, Gene, but he should have Degani Mayudoka. Soft-ass boys. And I'm not talking about Russ.
No.
Russ took that hit like a champ.
It's Carl Sheffords. It's Sean Hockley.
It's those refs.
It's these guys.
This is some soft-ass boys. What are you guys doing? What are you doing? This is a violent game. And rock bottom was Jonathan Owens hitting Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. I've long said that it's when Patrick Mahomes scrambles around, it's like Vladimir Putin playing hockey and that no one wants to touch him. But now we're actually seeing it is like hitting Vladimir Putin. If you actually make contact with Patrick Mahomes, you're going to get a flag. Russell Wilson's not even that good anymore. And, you know, I asked C.J. Stroud after the game, and it's a long answer. We don't have time to play it. But I asked him after the game about that moment where that Broncos linebacker got up in his face. I think some of these quarterbacks actually want to be treated like their players on the field. Because Stroud, before offensive linemen stepped in there, Stroud looked like he was going to fight Jonathan Singleton. And I couldn't love Stroud more after that moment. Right? How often do you see a quarterback like actually look like he's going to throw down with a defender who, after a false start, basically just shoved him a little bit too long.
It's not like a huge
It wasn't, but it was a man. That was a man move. It's a violent game, guys. It's a violent game. And sometimes, Sean, what's going through your head doesn't make any sense because we're just barbaric apes wearing helmets out there playing with an effing ball. And I don't... Toxic masculinity has a place, especially in football of all places.
It's one of the only safe places left for toxic masculinity.
People play this game, Sean, because guess what? They want to hurt people. So, not everyone, but a lot of people play this game because of that. A lot. And I'm not saying that makes it right, but if you are turning every single moment, second of a game into... Whoa, well, was that too hard? Oh, well, could he have gotten hurt there? Where does it end? And that's the problem we found out this year. Clearly, the rabbit hole has no end in sight. And then when you miss that, and I'm not really sure how I feel about this. I watched the replay and I was looking for it, but some people thought that defensive lineman on the Broncos rolled into Tank Dell and injured him. Honestly, I've watched it. I can't make that judgment based off of that, but... Plays like that, okay, they're focused on it. But in a game, if we're policing every single second of the... We're going to ruin this game. We're going to ruin it eventually. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call in and to text in. You could join on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. Eric in Jersey Village very astutely points out that, well, Tom Brady's the reason for all this. Yeah, but Tom Brady is a god descended from the heavens, so it's different. Okay? It's different. It's different. C.J. Stroud could be that guy for us someday. Huh? And then I'll be a total hypocrite. But for now, defenders' lives matter. Okay?
I like how we've gotten both the Indianapolis Colts in 2003, 2004 getting the rules changed, and now Tom Brady in 2008, 2009 getting the rules changed.
We're checking all the Patriots boxes.
Yeah.
Checking them all. By the way, they're garbage. Hey, coming up next, you can finally say those three words. Oh, Sean's so excited. The Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
ESPN 97.5.com. Aya Kane Powder.
Marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today.